The screen lit up. Wubslin fiddled with its controls. The screen hologram showed a diagrammatic representation of a sphere with three axes shown in perspective.
"That's about 4 kilometres," Wubslin said.
He seemed to be talking to the mass sensor, not to the people around it.
"Let's try 8.
He touched the controls again. The number of lines on the axes doubled. One very faint smudge of light blinked near the edge of the display.
"Is that it?" Dorolo said. "Is that where it is?"
"No," Wubslin said, fiddling with the controls again, trying to get the little patch of light to become clearer. "Not dense enough." Wubslin doubled the range twice more, but only the single trace remained, submerged in clutter. Hauser looked round, orienting himself with the grid pattern shown on the screen.
"Would that thing be fooled by a pile of uranium?"
"Oh, yeah,"
Wubslin said, nodding. "The power we're putting through it, any radiation will upset it a bit. That's why we're down to roughly 30 kilometres maximum anyway, see? Just because of all this granite."
"Yeah, if there's a reactor, even an old one, it'll show up when the sensor's reader waves get to it. But just like this is a patch. If this mine's only 15 metres long and weighs 10,000 tonnes, it'll be really bright, like a star on the screen."
"Okay," Hauser said. "That's probably just the reactor down at the deepest surface level."
"Oh," Wubslin said. "They had reactors too."
"Backup," Hauser said. "That one was for ventilation fans if the natural circulation couldn't cope with smoke or gas. The trains have reactors too in case the geothermal failed."
Hauser checked the reading on the screen with a built-in mass sensor in his suit, but the faint trace of the backup reactor was out of its range.
"Should we investigate this one?"
Wubslin asked, his face lit by the glowing screen.
Hauser straightened up, shaking his head. "No," he said wearily, "not for now."
They sat in the station and had something to eat. The station was over 300 metres long and twice the width of the main tunnels. The metal rails the command system trains ran on stretched across the level floor of fused rock in double tracks, appearing from one wall through an inverted U and disappearing through another, toward the repair and maintenance area. At either end of the station, there were sets of gantries and ramps which rose almost to the roof. Those provided access to the two upper floors of the trains when they were in the station, Hauser explained, when Nysin asked about them.
"I can't wait to see these trains," Wubslin mumbled, mouth full.
"You won't be able to see them if there's no light,"
Avager told him.
"I think it's intolerable that I have to go on carrying all that junk," the drone said. It had set the equipment-loaded pallet down, and now I'm told I have to carry even more weight.
"I'm not that heavy, Unahar Klosp," said Balvader.
"You'll manage," Hauser told the machine.
With no power, the only thing they could do was use their suits AG to float along to the next station. It would be slower than the transit tube, but quicker than walking. Balvader would have to be carried by the drone.
"Horza, I was wondering," Yalson said.
"What?"
"How much radiation have we all soaked up recently?"
"Not much." Horza checked the small screen inside his helmet. The radiation level wasn't dangerous. The granite around them gave off a little, but even if they hadn't been seated up, they'd have been in no real danger. "Why?"
"Nothing," Yalson shrugged. "Just with all these reactors and this granite and that blast when the bomb went off in the gear you vacked from the cat, well, I thought we might have taken a dose. Being on the megaship when Lam tried to blow it apart didn't help either, but if you say we're okay, we're okay."
"Unless somebody's particularly sensitive to it, we haven't got much to worry about."
Yalson nodded.
Hauser was wondering whether they should split up. Should they all go together, or should they go in two groups, one down each of the foot tunnels which accompanied the main line and the transit tube? They could even split up further and have somebody go down each of the 6 tunnels which led from station to station. That was going too far, but it showed how many possibilities there were. Split up, they might be better placed for a flanking attack if one group encountered the Adirans, though they wouldn't initially have the same firepower. They wouldn't be increasing their chances of finding the mine, not if the mass sensor was working properly, but they would be increasing their chances of stumbling into the Adirans in the first place. Staying together, though, in the one tunnel, gave Hauser a feeling of claustrophobic foreboding. One grenade could wipe them out. A single fan of heavy laser fire would kill or disable all of them. It was like being set a cunning but unlikely problem in one of the Habor Military Academy's term exams. He couldn't even decide which way to head. When they'd searched the station, Yalson had seen marks in the thin layer of dust on the foot tunnel floor leading to Station 5, which suggested the Adirans had gone that way. But ought they to follow?
or should they go in the opposite direction? If they followed, and he couldn't convince the adherents he was on their side, they'd have to fight. But if they went in the other direction and turned the electricity on at Station 1, they'd be giving power to the adherents as well. There was no way of restricting the energy to one part of the command system. Each station could isolate its section of track from the supply loop, but the circuitry had been designed so that no single traitor or incompetent could cut off the whole system. So the adherents, too, would have use of the transit tubes, the trains themselves, and the engineering workshops. Better to find them and try to parley, settle the issue one way or the other. Hawser shook his head. This whole thing was too complicated. The command system with its tunnels and caverns, its levels and shafts, its sidings and loops and crossovers and points seemed like some infernal closed-circuit flowchart for his thoughts. He would sleep on it. He needed sleep now, like the rest of them. He could sense it in them. The machine might get run down, but it didn't need sleep, and Balveda still seemed alert enough. But all the rest were showing signs of needing a deeper rest than just sitting down. According to their body clocks, it was time to sleep. He would be foolish to try to push them further.